I'd like to call the meeting of the House Resources to order on this, the 24th day of April at 3:25. And today we have several bills up. First, I'd like to take up House Bill 111, loan secured by the limited entry permits. We dealt with this bill yesterday, and it is time to ask the committee what is their pleasure regards House Bill 111. Representative Carney?
You want to telecom?
Yes, I believe we are. Right, James? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that we report committee substitute House Bill 111 out of committee with individual recommendations.
Is there an objection? Without objection, then House Bill 111 moves out of committee with individual recommendations. Next, I'd like to take up House Bill 276, the Fisheries Tax Refund Program. And I would like to turn the meeting over to Vice Chairman.
Okay, we are on top. Okay, we now have before us HB 276, and the sponsor is Representative Davidson. Would you like to make your opening comments?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Today is the first hearing for House Bill 276. This legislation is designed to correct damage left over from the tragedy of the Exxon Valdez. 2 years ago, the fishing economies of Prince William Sound, the Kenai Peninsula, the Kodiak Archipelago, and the Southern Alaska Peninsula were effectively shut down to prevent oil-tainted seafood from reaching the consumer market. The fishing industry strongly supported that decision. However, one of the effects on our coastal communities and municipalities was to cut them off from one of their most reliable and important sources of revenue, the fisheries business tax, paid on raw seafood product. The revenue this tax provides is important revenue to both state and local governments. The proposed Exxon Valdez settlement recently concluded among the state, federal governments, and Exxon specifically reserved the right of the state to collect the municipal portion of this lost fisheries business tax. It is expected that eventually Exxon will settle this claim, but in the meantime, the municipalities have serious needs that cannot wait. House Bill 276 will reimburse the municipalities for their lost revenue in advance of monies to be paid by Exxon. This means that they may begin to use this lost revenue to push forward with projects and expenditures on hold since that disastrous early March morning when Fly Reef was imprinted forever in our minds. I believe we have testimony from the administration in support of the concept of this bill, and we also have mayors from several of the affected communities that should be better able to describe the impact this problem has had on their regions and on their communities. And with that, I would conclude my remarks, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. We do have two people that are signed up to testify, and perhaps before questioning, it might be well to have Carl Meyer with the Department of Revenue. No?
Is he on telecom?
Is Mr. Jerome Selby here?
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Jerome Selby. I'm the mayor of the Kodiak Island Borough, also the president of the Alaska Municipal League, both of whom support your adoption of House Bill 276. I think Mr. Davidson has filled you in to some extent on the background of that, and we do have available, I think you have in your packet, the position paper signed by the Commissioner of Revenue supporting this legislation as well. I'm not sure what happened to the staff member that was here a little bit ago. We are basically requesting that the state give us some assistance here. We have aggressively pursued settlement of these claims through Exxon. I think some of you may remember that the bill was before you a year ago. Exxon basically came in and testified that before the Finance Committee that they would write checks, that they acknowledged that this was due, that there was a loss here, and that they would pay. We then pursued them. through the summer, and part of the reason that this bill is a little bit late getting to you is we thought up until February of this year that we might get a settlement with Exxon on this matter. Unfortunately, the meeting scheduled in February in the Commissioner of Revenue's office to settle this issue, supposedly, they called the day before Exxon did and canceled out the meeting and has not. They have not talked to us since. At this point, their position basically is one of two things. They're now saying that they're not sure that they owe us any money because the state is the collector of the fish tax. And so the municipalities do not collect this ourselves. We are a beneficiary. After the state collects it, you folks appropriate 50% back to us. And so our concern about that right now is that they may have some legal point there as far as whether we are someone who can really collect this money or if the state of Alaska would have to do it. Raises an issue in our mind. The second part of it is they're saying is that they won't talk to us about any kind of a settlement on this matter unless we drop all other claims against Exxon resulting from the oil spill. So it's kind of a blackmail type thing that if we want this money, we're going to have to drop all other claims. The immediate problem that many of us have is indicated in the position paper from the commissioner. This revenue represents from about 20% to as high as 50% of the revenue for the various municipalities who were impacted by the spill. In my particular case, it's close to 20% of the Kodiak Island Borough's budget. I'm looking at sending out a mill levy of two additional mills to my taxpayers in June to make up the shortfall, unless we can get some assistance from the legislature on this matter. Somehow I take great exception to raising the mill levy by two mills to the same people who lost their fishing income during the summer of 1989 from this oil spill. Somehow there's a great deal of injustice that results from that in my mind. So we would really appreciate your support. I think the bill is fairly straightforward. We would submit our claims to the commissioner. He would review those very carefully, I would assume, and determine what the appropriate amount of payment to each of the communities should be. And that would settle the issue, except we will then continue to pursue in court. And if we should succeed in getting some funds, either through settlement or through court decree from Exxon, we would pay the state back up to the amount of what is paid to us under this bill. So in some ways, hopefully it would be a matter of, in effect, a loan, an advance payment, if you will, from the state. We would hope to get this money back and return it to the Treasury. The problem that we have is we don't know how many years it may be before we get that settlement, and we would hope that we could count on you folks to let us balance our budgets and get through the next 2 years while we're continuing to pursue that settlement. So I'll be glad to answer any questions you folks might have.
Do members of the committee have any questions for Mr. Selby? Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you know what effect, if any, that the Exxon Valdez settlement would have on your case against Exxon? Let me continue. It sounds as though the state may be the one that has the case against Exxon, not the municipalities. And so on the face of the state, do you know anything about that?
Well, what the Attorney General did do was, and by the way, he supports this particular legislation as well, is our understanding. But apparently in the settlement agreement between the state and Exxon, the provision for the municipalities to continue to pursue the raw fish tax was made. The problem that we have is that Exxon is giving us kind of a funny signal on that in that they're saying they're not sure we have standing to make that claim since the state does collect it. So it's kind of a gray area. But as far as the overall settlement, probably the state settling weakens the municipalities' efforts to pursue Exxon on all of our claims. From the perspective of the big issues, theoretically, are settled between the state. And the state's obviously the big hitter here. We're the little guys in the block here as far as pursuing claims with Exxon. So certainly if Exxon gets a settlement with the state of Alaska, our efforts to get a settlement or pursue them is weakened to somewhat. I don't think it's disastrous to our case, but certainly there's not the same level of urgency on Exxon's part to try to sit down and settle the claims if a big hitter is off the block.
Continue.
Please continue, Representative.
It sounds like a big problem to me, because it sounds to me as though the municipalities have no case, but the state is the one that has the case.
Well, my understanding is that we've got some amount of case because we are a beneficiary who has lost their revenue. But certainly it's not as strong a case as the state of Alaska, who's the collector of the fish tanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Mayor, it's my understanding, and perhaps the committee's already taken care of it, that the total sum is approximately $3.5 million. Is that correct, sir?
In discussion with the commissioner, he's seen the figures. Most of us have given him what we consider pretty hard numbers at this point. He feels like $3.5 million would be adequate, and in his position paper, he's suggesting the $3.5 million. We're comfortable with that. That would be an acceptable change.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman,
please continue.
As prime sponsor of this legislation, is it your intention then to perhaps reduce the amend line 10 on page 1 to $3.5 million? What is your interest?
It's not my intention at this point. I think this number will be reduced by the natural course of events, and this money would not be in excess even if this sum were appropriated. It would simply go back into the general fund, and because of the nature of the sum, we wanted to make sure there was sufficient money to help these communities that are in distress.
But Mr. Chairman, I was going to take credit for reducing government by $1 million right here. Well, you're suggesting I can't do that.
Representative, you've been in government long enough to know how these things work.
Some say too long.
Are there additional questions or comments for Mr. Selby? Thanks, Drew.
Thank you.
There has been a slight glitch. We lost our DOR representative, and hopefully he will return momentarily.
I don't think so.
I think he freaked out. He's only been on the job two weeks, and he was here, and then he just disappeared. Well, at any rate, we'll continue on with House Bill 276 and ask Mayor Bob Brody of the City of Kodiak to come. Oh, before you get started, Bob, I'd like to announce that the committee has been joined today by Representative Hudson, Representative Moyer, Vice Chairman Lincoln, Representative Carney, Representative Ivan, and Chairman Davidson. Please state your name for the record, Bob. Just one of them would be fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Davidson, Chairman, and members of the committee. Appreciate the opportunity to testify today. We're fortunate that you were able to schedule this while many members were in town to address this concern. As you know, this is not the first time we've appeared before a legislative committee discussing the raw fish tax. As Mayor Selby related to you, we were down here a year ago. The legislature was willing to consider our request for the lost monies. Exxon said, what's the problem? We'll give you some money if you just show us you lost it. And we're still waiting a year later. In fact, they won't even talk to us now. And I don't know if that was by design or just by the way they're such a big company, and $3.5 million isn't much to somebody that made $2 billion last quarter. But we can't even get anybody to answer our calls right now on this because of the settlement and its implications. Some communities have got $1 million involved. The city of Kodiak's got about $600,000. We have a $10 million budget. It's not a great amount for us because we have some savings on which we can depend, but there are some smaller communities where this is a major portion of their budget, and to not have this, it's really going to affect some of those small villages. As I said, some of the communities have lawsuits against Exxon. Not all of them do. We are still, in the city of Kodiak, pursuing the claims process in reasonable negotiations, and we find it very frustrating and not even been able to get a call answered from them to rectify this situation. So if we are successful, if we get a check one day for the money, we'll certainly make sure that there's no double dipping. We'll pay the legislature back, and we'll move on. So I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Mayor Brody, I noted that the village of Larson Bay, I think, has $72,000 or $76,000. Do you know what percentage of their budget that would represent?
I'd say that's about 40% of their budget. It's a big portion. They have a small cannery there, and they depend on that to run their water supply, their public safety officer, and their health clinics and things. And they don't have the savings. Thank you.
Are there questions for Mayor Brody from members of the committee? If not, thank you very much, Mayor Brody, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir.
Well, we will hold over House Bill 276 until tomorrow. I believe we have a special meeting tomorrow to deal with the mental health, and we'll pass out first, hopefully, House Bill 276. So with that, I'd like to go on to the next bill, and Representative Lincoln.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a statement. I was thinking someone else was going to testify on 276, but in the travel that I was fortunate to go on for the Exxon spill, that's what we heard over and over again from the communities affected by the fish tax, and that needed to be resolved. And I think that the testimony that we received out there was very beneficial to myself and to others that were on the trip, that this was a problem that exists that some of us didn't know about before, so we really appreciated that. And the hospitality that we received out there, too.
Thank you. That brings down to House Bill 267. We had, we'll be holding for Representative Boyer on House Bill 138, which was what we were going to take up next. But next, we'll take up House Bill 276. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Vice Chairman. To House Bill 267, the hazardous training and equipment.
We have before us HB 267, Representative Dombey's bill, and if you would identify yourself, please, and make your statement on behalf of this one.
Hi, for the record, my name is John Bazina. I'm staff to Representative Donnelly. House Bill 267 seeks to address two unusual emergency problems that could occur in the municipality of Anchorage and all through from Matsu to the Kenai Peninsula. First of all, in case of a plane crash anywhere within Cook Inlet, currently there are no capabilities for a cold water rescue. This bill would allow for the purchase of rigid hull boats and for the training of personnel to work with those boats in the rescuing cold water. And secondly, in case of a hazardous material spill for state statutes, this bill would provide the equipment and the training necessary to deal with those material problems.
Good afternoon, Representative Donald.
Thank you, Representative Lincoln. We've been struggling through the ethics legislation and judiciary. Came up with our fourth CS. So.
Well, your eighth was doing a very good job.
Oh, thank you.
Did you want to make any further statements?
Oh, no. I think Mr. Vizina and I worked together on this bill, and I'm sure he explained the situation at the Anchorage Airport not having rescue capability, and with the our failure to have created a plan to respond to hazardous waste and chemical fires and catastrophes or events in the South Central area.
We do have two people in Anchorage that are online to testify, and one here in Juneau that would like to testify. So perhaps at this time we will go to Anchorage. Mr. Tim Cornelius. Mr. Cornelius, if you could state your name and who you represent and begin your testimony.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Tim Cornelius, currently the president of the International Association of Firefighters. And we represent the majority of the members within the Anchorage Fire Department. And I'm here to testify, and I appreciate the opportunity to do so, on House Bill 267.
Mr. Cornelius, did you wish to have further testimony?
I think he wants to talk.
Yes, we need to tell him it's okay. Basically, I'd like to emphasize the extreme need for the hazardous materials training and equipment. Presently, we do have, the firefighters have made a commitment over a number of years in the training of hazardous materials. And our interest is there, and we're currently negotiating a team commitment with the municipality of Anchorage, and there is offers, respective offers on both sides of the table. So both groups have recognized that that need. What this equipment will do is basically provide the tools that we need to mitigate the hazardous materials incident within Anchorage. Currently, if you're y'all have read the paper, we have had two instances here just recently that with the addition, if we'd had this equipment available, would have been of great value and assistance to us, and would have even had some impact in terms of saving, possibly saving some protective clothing that was destroyed. For example, the decontamination unit, that particular item will have the capability of not only cleaning personnel or contaminating the field, and also take care of their protective clothing in a proper manner, and limiting any exposure and leaving that exposure there on the fire scene, and not transporting it around Anchorage as commonly occurred throughout our history. The International Association of Firefighters has made a great commitment for a number of years in training. In fact, right now the Anchorage Fire Department is using the training materials that are provided by our unit at no additional cost to the municipality. So we have made a commitment for a number of years, and I guess basically I just need to stand by for specific questions if there are any from a committee and legislative members. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cornelius. Are there any questions? We'll go on to Mr. Joseph Albright.
Yes, my name is Joseph Albright. I'm a 13-year member of the fire department here in Anchorage. And in that time, I have learned that calamity and catastrophe can happen anywhere and any time to anybody. As Mr. Cornelius stated, the last month has seen two major incidents of hazardous materials for which we were not prepared in terms of equipment, even though our training was up to speed. What I'd like to touch on, Tim's made a very good series of points about the hazardous materials, and what my point is that you have got to be prepared for these things. There are going to happen. We've had our warnings with these two recent incidents, and we were very fortunate in that no one was killed or seriously injured. Now, in regards to the the cold water rescue, we're not going to get a warning. Imagine, if you will, the effect of a heavy jet crash in the inlet, and the Anchorage firefighters who are responsible for that area responding with one blow-up boat. And we're not going to be able to do anything with one boat, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to have some serious capability. Imagine the effect on tourist bookings in Alaska travel destination Anchorage if there is no way to rescue people down in an airliner. We got lucky with the hazardous materials incident. I hope that this bill will get your support, and that we'll be able to cover these two glaring inadequacies with the right kind of equipment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Mr. Albright. This is David Finkelstein. I just wanted to thank you for your Compass column as well. It really helped a lot of us understand the issues.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Mr. Preston.
Good afternoon, committee members. My name is Tom Preston. I'm a captain with the Anchorage Fire Department and a member of the Anchorage Fire Department Hazardous Materials Team, speaking today in favor of House Bill 267 as a representative of the Firefighter Union. I'm one of the guys who responds to the incident when an individual in the Anchorage area calls 911 and says there's an unidentified blue cloud coming out of the back of a semi-truck parked on the side of the road. As you know, hazardous materials are used by the thousands transported in and out of Anchorage every day to and from other parts of the state. hazardous materials incident can occur at any time, any place, and of just about any magnitude. The Anchorage Fire Department has a sole responsibility for response to these types of incidents in our area, and we must respond. We must protect the community. Currently, we respond with our normal apparatus as well as a hazardous materials team, which is currently not as well equipped and trained as we would be if this bill passes. For example, we recently responded to the sulfuric acid spill on the Seward Highway, as was already mentioned. Now, this bill would provide for funding for chemical protective suits, breathing apparatus, decontamination equipment, monitoring equipment, apparatus, resources, all of the things necessary for us to do our job, not only safely, but also legally. It's the only way we can meet our responsibility as mandated by the federal government and ultimately the state also. I urge your support on this bill. As a member of the hazardous materials team, I assure you that we need this training and equipment to protect the citizens of the community and also, very importantly, to protect ourselves when we respond to these incidents. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. We'll now come back to Juneau and Mr. Larry Langston. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about these two important grants that would come to the municipality and to other agencies that support the municipality. As a fire chief, I also feel strongly about the situation we have in Anchorage and that we have a high tourist industry there, thousands of people coming in and out of the airport, and we have very little ability at this time to respond to a disaster in the inlet from a heavy plane crash. Also, to parallel what the firefighters have said in Anchorage, although we have had the commitment by our people through training, and they've done a fantastic job with the limited amount of equipment they've got on hand, we have a tremendous problem in that we are prepared to handle a large hazardous material incident at this time. We were fortunate at the recent fire on Post Road, but again, like Firefighter Albrecht stated, it's a good warning. And I think that it's time that we look at this seriously and try to do something about it. Fire administration supports this bill.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you very much for your... I do have a question. When I was reading the bill on Section 2, on the, it says the dive teams come throughout Cook Inlet region and cold water rescue. Are you just speaking of cold water rescue in the Anchorage municipality or just specifically for the airport itself, or are you expanding beyond?
It would be primarily for Cook Inlet rescue, but those divers also would respond throughout the municipality.
Which organization is it that responds to cold water rescue through other parts of the state? Do you know?
The primary teams come out of the Kenai area and out of Anchorage at this time.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
I believe that we have taken all the testimony on 267, and I don't know if the sponsor has any final comments to make. The intent is to hold 267 over until tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Basically, we all know how the appropriation bills process work. We all kind of collect in the Finance Committee and will be rolled into the capital budget as appropriated, you know, for the different regions of the state. Certainly serves a good educational process to, because I know that I've learned a lot in working on this legislation, just about how unprepared we are for these kind of hazardous waste situations and toxic fire situations and the response capability in the Cook Inlet region. And I think it serves a really good purpose that way. And I anticipate that as with every other appropriation bill, that's what's going to happen with this one.
Thank you, Representative Donnelly. Representative Moyer.
Thank you. Madam Vice Chair, Madam Chair. No, I appreciate the opportunity to learn a little bit about the situation, too. Before Representative Hudson left, he and I were just discussing briefly that our airport's sitting here in bodies of water as well. Anyone who's flown the Fairbanks know you fly to the Tanana River most of the way, and if that's not a raging river, I'm not myself, I can tell you it is. And I frankly don't know the preparedness of our airport, nor the Juneau one here that we've all flown into, so it has been educational from that point of view. I appreciate your comments about how the process works, and so it'll probably end up coming out of discretionary capital.
Madam Chair,
please.
One of the other things we've learned is that all the regions of Alaska at some point in time will be needing to do this because there are some federal mandates coming down with regional response capabilities mandated by the federal government. This is like a first step to address that mandate in our area, but all of us are going to have to meet that responsibility at some point in time.
Representative Ivan, then Representative Finkelstein.
I'm trying to figure out this equipment to be used for, you know, there's your airport, the international airport is right at the small planes in the event of emergency fall in the water. This bill has the capability to respond to that?
Yes, sir. There are several rigid hull bolts, both for the National Guard and for the Anchorage Fire Department, and to locate specifically at the airport to have that type of capability, which I heard about this. I was working out at the airport, and the security officers asked me, you know, we're really worried about this. And so I heard, that's how I learned about it, was firsthand when I was working on a construction job at the airport. And then I followed up on it and learned that it's true. They're very limited. I guess some helicopter could respond from Elmendorf and have some sort of net arrangement. But if it's an airliner, they're not going to be, you know, it's going to be very hard to pick up hundreds of people with a net with one helicopter.
Proceed, Mr. Langston.
In addition to that, I might add that currently we're responding when the water is open out there, when the ice is off, we respond an average of about one time per week currently to emergencies in the inlet. Our dive team goes out with a rigid hull inflatable. And they're out there with just that single boat. There's no backup for them if they get in trouble. And what this would do is it would provide the support not only for an airliner crash, but also for small planes, other boats in trouble in the inlet, this type of thing. If I may add on the hazardous material situation, the closest team, if we don't fund one in Anchorage, the closest team to a major hazmat spill in our area would be Seattle.
Interesting. Representative Ivan, were you?
Oh, thank you. That's
right. Representative Zawet.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe I just want to add a few things because I kind of have a unique situation where, you know, my district encompasses not only Anchorage, but it also encompasses the Kenai Peninsula and Cook Inlet. I do know that what we're looking at here is we're trying to get the max amount of funding to get a major operation and equipment in, you know, into existence in the inlet. The Kenai and specifically in the Kiski area, in fact at the fire department in the Kiski area, encompasses and has the responsibility of covering something like 6,000 square miles. It sounds very large, but that's exactly what it is. It includes communities over on the other side of Cook Inlet, such as Tyonek and several other areas out there. And through the years, kind of hit and miss and small appropriations of monies, you know, we've been able to get prior to me coming on and coming out, we have slowly gotten some cold water response equipment. You're talking about the boats and assistance with helicopters from not only the industry, but from the city of Kenai. But again, it's all patchwork. It's all patchwork. I do know that in years past, there's been a cooperation between Anchorage and the peninsula, depending on the emergency call on that inlet, because it not only involves a major international airport like we're talking about, it involves commercial fishing fleets when they're out there in the summertime, it involves the platforms that are out there, it involves any cargo ship that's coming up and out of that inlet, and you have to have emergency response for all of that, and we really do not have a major response capability covering that inlet from, I don't care what you want to call it, Homer into Anchorage and back, and it's long, long overdue. And
I apologize. I thought my name was on your bill. It will be on there, but I do support this, and it's very important, not only for Anchorage, and I think sometimes we kind of lose perspective sometimes. You know, we're looking at Anchorage, but it covers a major population segment of Cook Inlet, north, and south, north, south, east, and west, really.
Thank you. I did take note of the Tionic being slipped in there. Representative Ivan.
Just the last comment. I'll feel comfortable next time I come on landing to the airport from Bethlehem.
Further your questions? If not, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Representative Don. We're now going to our HB 138, which is the Clean Water Fund appropriation. Representative Boyer's bill and
Alexis. Are we still on teleconference?
I believe we're not. Hold on.
I'm going to drop off.
Okay. Don't have to worry about that.
For the record, though, I'm Alexis Miller, staff representative Mark Boyer. And I'm afraid the representative is chairing the finance committee right now, so he's unable to be here. Basically, the bill's changed since it was first introduced. It had it's an appropriation bill to DEC, and at one point it was worth $6.4 million for six different appropriation projects within DEC, and now there's just one project. It's for $150,000 for a solid waste characterization and recycling market study. So if you have any specific questions, the bill's very straightforward. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions on the CS? The intent is to hold this over until tomorrow as well, and to take it up at that time. I believe we're moving it. Representative Moyer.
You walked the conference.
Oh, yes.
I thought I was confused.
No.
Turns out someone else.
I am. I'm too used to that.
Madam Chair, we heard this bill in State Affairs Committee, and Alexis, if I'm not mistaken, the bulk of the previous bill was incorporated into another bill?
Actually, no, the bulk of it's incorporated into the budget.
It's either in the capital or
in the operating. Yeah, I mean, but it's all in there somewhere. At least we hope it will be by the time we get in. But it's in there.
Has anything changed since State Affairs?
No.
When we passed it out, it was frankly with the idea that we were given a vehicle to finance to sit up there in case they needed it or something. Let me be so frank.
You may be so frank, yes.
Well, that's what Mark said.
Is it?
It's not like advertised.
Did you have some more information?
No, I'm ready to move it.
Okay. Well, we are not moving it today. Representative Ivan?
I could, thank you, Ben. I could read this, but could you, in a nutshell, tell me the, you're going to study the, it says the study would cover all waste streams that are used and recycled in Alaska.
Mm-hmm. They would look at, there hasn't been a comprehensive study done, like statewide, to know the different regions of the state, the rural areas. I mean, it's a lot easier to recycle in Juneau, Anchorage, Fairbanks, but it's difficult out in the rural areas. So they need a more up-to-date study. I guess ALPAR recently did a study, but they didn't do it on all the waste streams. So I think the intent for DEC was to give contracts to like Southeast Conference and to Swampsea to study this, so they can either do it in-house or they can contract out with the $150,000.
Just to follow
continue
up comment, I now understand the intent, and I think it's a step in the right direction. I know that a lot of our communities would look for technical assistance in this area,
yeah. And
look forward to this becoming effective. I'm not going to be here tomorrow, that's why I'm making positive comments towards the bill.
Representative Finkelstein, I wasn't sure whether you had your hand up earlier or not. Thank you. Representative Moyer.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm very curious. I had in my packet, can you tell me what this letter from Leo Land is doing in here?
I have never seen a letter from Leo Land.
On cabin leases, complaining about the governor's son.
I don't think it quite relates.
I'm sure we can make it.
Yes, Bob.
I'm sorry, but I don't have that.
I have that letter as well.
Do you? I've never seen it, so.
I think we ought to invite Mr. Land to explain the connection.
Are there further questions?
I know what you have in the pen.
Hearing no further questions, are you through with your testimony as well?
I'm just playing hold.
Thank you, and it is the intent, as I said, to hold this over until tomorrow, at which time I think it is the intent of the chair to then move it out of the committee. I believe that we are through all of our packets, and I can't believe, or luck. If there is no further business to come before this committee, we are hereby adjourned at 4 p.m.
Thank you.
Oh, boy.
Yes, I